Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Puck and Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
Well, gentlemen, long episode to go here. I think we got lots to talk about. Oh, yeah, you better turn that on. We are on the air. We're on the air.
We're on, guys.
Thanks to Devin for the on-the-air sign, by the way. But we got lots to talk about. We got tons to talk about. The first thing we need to get out of the way is last episode we discussed the potential for coming up with ideas who we predict is going to be the top three teams in each division in the NHL this year. And what better way to start an episode than to talk about our predictions? So let's start with, what do you say, the Atlantic first?
I was going to say the Pacific.
Well, we can go left to right.
You want to do Pacific?
We'll go left to right. Do you want to go first with your top three?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay.
Let's go 3-2-1.
3-2-1?
3-2-1.
We'll go 3-2-1. Okay. All right. In the Pacific, for me, I'll be bold and I'll just say I truly believe it's the weakest division in hockey at the moment.
See, I actually feel like that's the Metro division to me.
It's...
I had a really hard time with the Metro division.
I think they're probably pretty close.
Maybe.
I did have time. I had problems with the Metro as well.
The only reason why, and sorry, this is my rebuttal. The only reason why I think the Pacific isn't as weak as you might think is the fact that the Oilers have been in the Stanley Cup final the last 2 years.
Fair enough.
So when you consider the teams that have made the finals the last 2 years, the Pacific and the Atlantic, I'm not saying they're the strongest, but they're definitely, I think they're stronger than people give them credit for. That's just the way I see it.
For sure. And then I think as a direct rebuttal to that, I would say I don't even have the Oilers in the top three.
Very cool.
So that would be why this year I think it's probably weaker, but all right. I'll get to it anyway.
Okay, so who do you have as number three?
I have the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay.
I do. I have them in three. It was tough for me, and I think Calgary will be close there as well. And I think Edmonton will be close. I think it's going to be a race for third spot. Yeah. I really do. As you said last episode, the Canucks were a playoff team 2 years ago when they were healthy, right? With their roster being half to three quarters the same, just about. So with returning players like Besser, the progression, ideally, of Pedersen coming off of a very down year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Goaltending tandem that's probably one of the best in the NHL when they're on and healthy as well. I think some of the players that are going to make the team out of camp or at least have a big shot, Calder Cup champions, like everything seems to be going in the upward trend for the Canucks after quite a down year and not necessarily down as far as standings go because they weren't that far out either, but a down year from what it was the year before that.
Totally.
So, that's my number three. Number two, I'm going to go with the LA Kings.
Interesting. Okay.
The reason I say that is because I don't think the other teams, like LA did a little bit. I think that they rounded out their bottom six with additions of Armia and Perry. Some of the struggles they've had in the last few playoffs runs were being unable to stop high powered offense and being well rounded throughout their lineup. I think they addressed that a little bit. The reason I have them at two, and it's a bit of a cop-out, but it's how I feel, is I just don't think other teams in the Pacific did enough to surpass them.
Fair enough.
So I think they're just going to build on what they've done and just progress a little bit more. And obviously, number one, how can you not say the Vegas Golden Knights? They were top of their division last year. They've been near the top of the division every single year they've been in the league. They picked up probably the best free agent in the offseason in Mitch Marner.
When you consider the fact that they upgraded their scoring depth, really, like ultimately totally. By picking up Marner, like that they're only getting better scoring now.
They've got everything else kind of figured out already.
Yeah, that's right.
The way to play, playing hard, playing heavy, playing fast. I don't think there's a team that's going to beat them. But I mean, hey. We're all going to be wrong here in our prediction somewhere, so maybe that's it.
You're absolutely right. And like I said, this really is just a my opinion type scenario, sure. Right? And we're all going to have different opinions. I already know my opinion's a little different than yours,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, it's a good point. Like the points you make, they're good points. Like, yeah, you know, you have to consider where the teams were last year, what they've done to sort of quote-unquote improve, or maybe not so much in some cases. And so, you know, we're all going to have different opinions based on that. So what's your top three?
You know, lends a hand to pretty much a lot of the same kind of picks that you're going with. Not the exact same, but I'll start with number three as well. I had Vancouver there as well. And tough because I would love Calgary to be a playoff team, but even if I was choosing wildcard teams, I wouldn't put Calgary in it this year. Only for the fact I think it would bode them well not to be a playoff team this year with the type of draft that's coming up. For them to start getting some more high-end talent into the team will bode well long-term for them. So as much as I'd love for them to be a playoff team, I don't want them to be. So Vancouver, on the other hand, I do see as a playoff team. You just picked up Evander Kane. Now, he's a bit of a pain in the B, but in terms of...
I think you're allowed.
he does his job well.
He's... You know, he's been to the last two Stanley Cups. You know, he might have lost, so it makes him a bit of a loser, I guess, on that end. But, you know, but nonetheless, he's been to the last two finals. That's got to play a part in.
I'm sorry, just thinking, like, 31 teams lose, buddy. Like, there's a lot of them.
Technically, they're all losers.
It's only because I don't like them.
I know.
That's why it's funny.
But he'll be a good top six, obviously, I think, for the Canucks. Yeah. I really think... you know, the re-signing for Garland and for Besser was huge for them. And I think that morale is actually a boost for them. The fact that they're able to get them back on long-term deals. There's that stability. You know, like, again, the coach is changing. So when you have a new coach coming in who's already had some experience with the team, I think, yeah, it bodes well for Vancouver to actually be back on the up again this year.
For sure.
My number two is different than yours. I didn't have LA. I did have Edmonton. I can't not go with Edmonton, having made the last two finals. Obviously, they've done some subtractions this year. You got the best two of the best players in the world on their team, and I think they kind of overpaid Bouchard. You know, it's a really hefty contract for an only offense defenseman.
And you've got to think with that contract for Bouchard that they're putting a lot of pressure on him to improve in the offseason, and they're going to give him more minutes too because of it, right? So, like, you have to think that they're saying to him, okay, we're giving you this much money, but you have to be the guy, right? And so there's pressure there on both ends.
They did have a lot of subtractions. Victor Arvidsson obviously being traded away. Connor Brown signing with New Jersey. Klingberg gone. I don't know where he went. I don't care.
He did sign a decent contract.
Did
though.
He?
Okay. I mean,
was it with Detroit,
I think it was
maybe?
Utah? Was it Utah? Or
I don't know.
I think it might have been Detroit.
I have to look it up. Anyway.
Evander Kane, as we know, went to the Canucks, and then Corey Perry went to LA. So they had quite a bit of subtraction, but they did pick up some decent players. Curtis Lazar is a really strong two-way center. Again, maybe not score you a ton of points, but he's really a dog on the puck. Same with Andrew Mangiapane. Was a really big pickup for the Oilers, right. I think, too. And... You know, like I said, we'll
have San Jose Sharks, by the way. Klingberg was signed with the San Jose Sharks.
Honestly, doesn't surprise me.
$4 million contract. So,
I watched Curtis Lazar play for the Oil Kings the year that they won the WHL championship. And when I was living in Edmonton, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, Griffin Reinhart was captain of the team that year as well. So.
Good fourth overall pick in this draft.
Lazar's been all over the place, right? He played in Vancouver for a little bit and then got traded to, I want to say, Jersey. So, you know, he's been all over the place.
Yeah, like, obviously he's with Edmonton now. He was drafted by Ottawa, and I believe he's an Ottawa native, if I remember correctly. Him or it was Eric Cowan, I think, the defenseman. I can't remember who it was, but there was one Ottawa native that they drafted. I thought it might have been Lazar.
He was born in Salmon Arm.
Oh.
Salmon Arm, BC. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe I misread something. Sorry.
That was why it was such a big deal for him to play for Vancouver, because it was his home province team or whatever. But yeah, didn't work out in Vancouver, obviously.
Yeah. So like I said, it's one of those things where, again, I can't not put my vote in for them. They've made the last two cup finals. Maybe this is the year. It could be, again, that they make it to the final and that they lose again. That maybe sways Connor McDavid's decision throughout the year and the end of the year.
That's a tough one. Who do you have as number one?
I'm also with Vegas on the Golden Knights. Yeah. Again, some subtractions in Nicholas Hegg and Nicholas Waugh, but huge additions in Mitch Marner. Colton Sissons is even a really, really good two-way. You can play center or right wing, and then they're basically swapping Hegg for Lauzon. Haig is, in my opinion, like a really, really good shutdown D-man. Lauzon's probably like a B-minus kind of light on Haig, but that firepower is going to be deadly. Whether they'll make it out of the first round with Marner is hard to say, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. They
like he's the good luck charm there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So for me, when it comes to the Pacific Division, I'm thinking about it as obviously a Vancouver Canucks fan. So obviously what I want is completely different than what's going to happen. Like, we all know this, but I do believe Vancouver does make the playoffs this year. I don't have them as third, though. I actually have them as second. And I'll explain why in a minute. First, I'll explain who I have as number three. Number three, I have the Oilers, because I do believe the Oilers did take a step back. Where I see they took a step back is actually on the sort of gritty side of things. And that's really what the bread and butter is for that team in the playoffs. They're tough on the puck. They're hard hitting. They're hard forechecking. Those types of things, defensively even, are what, in my opinion, makes a team more successful. And when you lose players like Evander Kane and you lose Corey Perry, like, those guys are probably the guys who drive the teams to play dirtier and harder and more aggressive and things like that. So that being said, and I mean, the other part of it too is that, in my opinion, they didn't get better. Like, I don't see Edmonton as a team that got better. I saw them as a team that, if anything, scoring wise, they're the same.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to see them in a position of kind of tops in the division. I definitely still see them making the playoffs. Yeah. It's hard not to predict that when you've got players like, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl who are kind of running the team, right? But in terms of getting better, I just don't see it personally. When it comes to Vancouver, what I do see, and maybe this is me, you know, with my fan hat on, I just see Vancouver as a team that they were so injury riddled last year that they weren't able to gain the momentum that they had the previous year. And this core is basically the same core that was there 2 years ago, minus JT Miller. So when you look at that and you look at the fact that people like Besser and Connor Garland are back, and, you know, Demko's back, these are three Americans that could have gone to play at home if they really wanted to.
Yep.
They decided to stick with it, and they're going to do something. And I think that shows you that they're poised to do something. So I definitely can see them, you know, improving this year, even above 2 years ago, as long as they have the momentum and they can kind of, you know, hold off those injuries. I think that's the thing that I see. And that's the sort of promise that I see. And then you add a player like, you know, Kane, who's going to basically be that aggressive guy that Dakota was supposed to be. Dakota Joshua was supposed to be. Obviously, last year was a tough one for everybody, including him. I can see him adding scoring, and I can see him adding that aggression that you need. I definitely think it's a positive kind of formula to put together for the team. So that's just the way I see it. And obviously, like I said, I'm wearing my fan cap. But that's just how I would like to see the season kind of play out. And then, of course, Vegas is number one.
I thought you might go San Jose.
Yeah. Well, San Jose is really close. No, but no, honestly, like, it's hard not to predict Vegas as the division winner here. I think really that's the kind of, when you're looking at the division, I think that's the kind of place that most teams are going to strive to beat is Vegas. So now we're going left to right. So let's look at the Central Division. Brando, who do you got for your Central?
I struggled with this one. I'm going to be bold with my third pick.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Nashville Predators.
Interesting. Yeah. That is bold. That's very bold.
I did it on purpose. I just found with the team they have on paper and the way they played last year, nothing went right for that team.
That's for sure.
They made a couple of additions. Eric Halla, Nick Haig, Nick Perbix. I think Tampa Bay is where he played before,
yes,
I think.
Correct.
Yeah. So they juiced the D up with size a little bit. Halla up the middle. Josi, Saros, Stamkos, Forsberg, Marchessault, Brady Shea. All guys who had terrible years, who are not terrible players by any stretch of the imagination. So... that's really all I got. I just can't see them being as bad as they were with that talent. Number two, Colorado Avalanche. They lost Coyle, who was kind of a deadline pickup anyway. Yeah. Jonathan Drouin, Miles Wood, Lindgren, Kelly Rosen, all kind of role players. So I'm not overly concerned about that. You're now going to have a full year with your captain back in Gabriel Landeskog, arguably the best player in the world, if not the second best player in the world, in Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah. In my opinion, the best player in the world, but yeah, that's just me.
So kind of speaks for itself there. Dallas Stars. They're just powerhouse team. Yeah. They're just a powerhouse team all the way through their lineup. They're now going to have a full season with Mikko Rantanen, who had an unbelievable playoffs.
But ironically, a new coach.
Yes.
That blew me away a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you, considering how good they are.
Savage there.
Yeah. It's just weird. I feel like there's just more to it, you know, when it comes down to stuff we don't know.
Yep.
But yeah, it's hard not to agree with you on those for sure. Yeah,
so those are my picks for the Central.
What do you think, Paul?
My number three, I do expect them to have a bit of regression this year. The President Trophy team, Winnipeg Jets from last year, I believe will fall down a little bit in the standings. Losing a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers is going to be hard for them, but they did sign some good, you know, some good replacements. You know, Gustav Nyquist is a really good playmaker. So, yeah. Also known as a two-way forward, speedy. Yeah. So, you know, with the type of team that they have, he should fit in just fine. Tanner Pearson, the same way. He's got Stanley Cup experience, so that will add to their team. Same with Jonathan Toews, you know. Winnipeg boy coming back to his hometown. I think that's going to work out really nicely for
them. Really hope that Winnipeg doesn't expect too much out of Toews, though. He hasn't played in like three seasons.
Yeah.
It just seems to me like, you know, it's great to have a hometown player, you know, sign for your team and stuff, but the guy hasn't played for so long. I just feel like it doesn't, you know, he's not going to be the same guy he was.
I'm kind of rooting for him, but I also kind of just don't care.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I hope he doesn't do badly. I hope that he has a decent...
In the sake of both the fact that, you know, he's a respected player, but also the fact that he went away due to long COVID, right? Which is, you know, Brendan Sutter had to retire because of long COVID.
Yeah.
So it's a very similar thing. Like, you wish the best for them for that reason. So, absolutely. I mean, it's a good story for sure.
Very good story. And you know, he found some spirituality that helped, you know, kind of complete, I guess, the way that he felt about himself too in regards to that. So
he's going to be in Doctor Strange 3.
Yeah. Likely.
Opening portals and whatnot. All right. What do you got for number two?
I had it tight between these two. I expect during the season it could flip either way, but my second is the Colorado Avalanche. Again, some pretty decent losses for them, like again, trading away Charlie Coyle, losing Ryan Lindgren, trading away Miles Wood, losing Jonathan Drouin. Like, they took a lot off their roster, but again, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Landeskog, exactly, coming back, like two of the three best players probably in the league. So, you know, good to see Landeskog come back. Love Brent Burns as the addition on the back end for them. I think that's he's going to solidify their back end even more.
On and off the ice too, right? Like some of these players, like just real quick for LA too, with Corey Perry and Joel Armia.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much Armia, but Perry for sure. Guys in the locker room that are going to help too, right?
Yeah.
I think that's helpful, but
it's hard to think of Perry that way from our perspective.
But that's all I've heard good things about him in the locker room. Right? Yeah. Obviously, he's a trash guy on the ice. But
guy's guy.
Would love
trash
to see
can on the ice.
Would love to see Burns win a cup too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's kind of the underrated story in the NHL with Burns specifically is the fact that he keeps going.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's pretty much my age and he's still going. You know, and it's kind of inspiring when you look at it from the outside and just like somebody my age can still be playing in the NHL. You know, it's crazy to think about. But obviously he's got a lot to fight for. He wants to win a cup, right? So,
Yeah, and what better team, right?
Yeah.
And then, like I said, Dallas Stars are going to be my number one. Mika Rantanen was a beast during the playoffs last year. And now, like as you mentioned, a full season with the team. I'd wonder who they'll play him with, if it's going to be Robertson or if it'll be Hintz like they had during the playoffs there.
Robertson still doesn't have a contract, right? Or does he?
He does not have a contract at the moment, so we don't even know what's going to happen.
So this is assuming Robertson's still with the team, you know. It's yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a coin toss when you think about it, right? And my list is exactly the same as yours. I've got Winnipeg number three, I've got Colorado number two, and Dallas number one.
If I wasn't going to be bold, mine would have been exactly the same.
And
I went for it.
I'm with you in that Winnipeg has regressed, in my opinion. I the reason why, though, is because I believe Nikolaj Ehlers was a part of that core, right? And when you take away a piece of the core, you actually take away the culture in the room, right? And so it can affect the team as a whole for a very long time. And so, you know, I think that's going to hurt the team a lot, not having somebody like Ehlers there. Now, that being said, the people they have brought onto the team, who knows if they're able to kind of create something more, but it just, from the outside looking in, it does look like they're going to be a weaker team this year, so to speak. Obviously, it's hard not to bet for somebody like Hellebuck, who's one of the best goaltenders in the league. But it's just, you know, it's difficult to say that they are going to play better defensively in front of them or score more goals in front of them and things like that. So that's the way I see it. And then, yeah, Colorado, like, to me, they improved this offseason. And like you say, adding somebody like Brent Burns, they're only going to be better on the back end. And you've got somebody like MacKinnon, you know, ahead of them, who is going to be able to score those goals and make those passes and do everything that he does. It's hard not to bet again, bet for them. I mean, when it comes down to it. And then, of course, Dallas, like you say, the one thing we don't know about Dallas is ultimately, you know, what's the coaching style going to be like? What's the, you know, who's going to be on the team? Is Robertson going to actually sign? And you know, and it's not just Robertson, right? There's another player that's unsigned on their team too, if I remember correctly. I thought there was two guys. Maybe I'm wrong. But
Wyatt Johnston?
Yeah, maybe. Either way, this is all assuming that those guys are coming back to the team and they're going to be the same-looking team. You know, it's hard not to say they're going to be the best in the division.
I do like that they brought back Radek Faxa. He was a pretty good third, fourth-line center for them, and they need that kind of grittiness on the team, so I was pretty happy to see him come back.
And ideally... something that neither of us have mentioned so far, even though we all picked Dallas, is Heiskanen will be back for a full season too.
Yes. On the back end. That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, and as we all know, you need good defense to be a winning team. And you know, you need somebody who can lead that defense, and he's one of them for sure. So
in case anybody's wondering, I'm sorry, I'm peeking like this because we just had some fireworks in the Jays-Yankees game. Two Yankees managers were just ejected play. Brad Ausmus now has to take over. I think it was the pitching coach that got tossed. And then Boone came out to be like, hey, man, like, why are you tossing him? Blah, 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 blah. And then he walked away and said something else. So the umpire threw him, too. So Boone turned right around and got right in their face. And they just went at it for like 2 minutes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, Vladdy. Uh-oh. Anyway, sorry, Joe.
Okay, so we've talked about the Western Conference. Yeah. Let's move on to the East. Let's start with what I consider to be one of the weakest, if not the weakest, division in the league. And this is the way I see it. The Metropolitan Division. I think we're all going to have different teams on this list.
I think so, too. This is a tough one.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. I'll just start by saying, no, I won't. My third pick is the New York Islanders.
Okay. All right. The Islanders. All right.
Yeah, I bowled again. I know.
Yeah.
I'm going for it. Obviously, they traded away Noah Dobson, but they also just drafted Matt Schaefer.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's going to be a question he's going to make the team out of camp.
Now, are you comparing him to Dobson, though, in terms of skill level? Like, is he... I don't know a lot about Schaefer. I know he's a good defenseman, obviously, for him to be picked first overall, but is he comparable to Dobson?
As far as skill set?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I would say. Obviously, not as developed.
Right.
I think Dobson's 24.
Yeah.
So he's had a little bit of time under his belt. But I would say very similar skill set. Dobson's more of a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Schaefer's more of a play driver.
Interesting. Okay.
Not necessarily a playmaker, but a play driver, I would say. How about a comparison, like a grittier Erik Karlsson?
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
As an example.
Yeah.
Adam Boqvist, Kyle Palmieri, Alexander Romanov. Unfortunately, a guy like Tony DeAngelo, who's surrounded by
controversy
at all times,
yeah.
But he's an effective player on the ice. Jonathan Drouin, Emil Heinemann.
comparable, like D'Angelo is comparable to like somebody like Wilson, right, in Washington, who is just a physical and
No, I don't think so. Not really.
I don't know a lot about him, but what I thought I knew was that he was that type of player.
Tony D'Angelo is just kind of he's actually a bit smaller.
Okay.
Defenseman.
Okay.
He likes to shoot the puck too.
Hmm.
I don't think he's that gritty, but he's a pretty good offensive D-man, slotting in on the second pair type thing. Effective player.
Yep, fair enough. Okay.
Piece of crap off the ice, but effective player.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
We'll leave that to interpretation.
Yeah.
Again, I went bold with it. I just think... I don't really know what I think. I think that's another situation where somewhere I feel like the Capitals have regressed. Like, I don't have Washington in my top three.
Okay.
And they're older. They're slower. They're just... I just don't see it happening.
That's kind of the thing you face when it comes to choosing a team like that, right? Where they've got a lot of older players. It's like, that's kind of what's happening to Edmonton right now too, right? When you think about it, they're getting older. They're not getting any younger. It's like
the Metro Division, outside of what I think the top two teams are, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they could all make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, I think the only team that's probably not 100% is Pittsburgh.
And honestly, that's why I believe the Metro Division is such a weak division, because it's like, it could be anybody.
I've changed my mind.
Yeah. The way, like, I was talking. It's so funny. I got off work today and Faye picked me up and we're driving home and I told her about what we were going to do on this podcast. And I was like, well, who do you think would be the top? Because she watches hockey too. And I said, well, who do you think would be the top in the Metro? And she'd given me team names, and it was very similar to what I chose. But she's like, that's a really hard division to think about, because it's like, really, when you think about the top teams in the league, none of them are on that division,
No, it's tough.
It's really tough. So who do you have as number two?
New Jersey. I think, a healthy Jack Hughes, Luke Hughes, another year older, kind of, developing. Cody Glass, Dadanov, Jake Allen, Connor Brown additions. Keefe's a good coach.
Yep.
I just don't see them going backwards. Definitely moving forwards.
Yeah.
Number one, Carolina Hurricanes. They made a couple of trades, some signings. Nikolai Ehlers being obviously probably the top fish. Keandre Miller in the trade. They re-signed Frederick Anderson. Logan Stankoven re-signed. I just think it's going to be a full year of dominance. And like I say, other teams got worse. Carolina got better.
Yep.
How can you not have them in the first spot, in my opinion?
100%. Yep. Paul?
I battled with number three because as much as I loved what Columbus did last year and almost like barely not making the playoffs, unfortunately, I wanted them to be my number three, but I actually chose the New Jersey Devils as my number three. I expect them to kind of just stay even keel, kind of like they were, during the year last year. I liked the addition of Connor Brown. He's actually been one of my favorite players for a long time. So I really liked that they picked him up. Was always sad when he was traded away from the Leafs, but again, they didn't have a spot for him at the time when he was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Hughes, Luke Hughes, even Markstrom, I expect to have more of an up year compared to what he had last year. So I think they'll be good at number three. I do expect the Washington Capitals have a bit of regression, so they are my number two.
That's technically not a regression, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they were number one in their division last year. So.
Oh, in their division, I guess. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if I remember correctly, it was like the last day or the second to last day of the season when they finally made the playoffs. Right. They like eked in. But that explains the division, right? When you think about it, if they're number one in the division, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah. Ovi proved he's still got it. And I don't expect him to slow down next year, even with him getting older.
Mm-hmm.
48 goals he had, or something like that? I think it was 48 on the
year. You're saying record. How old he was. I'm like,
he's not 48.
He beat Gretzky's record, and I mean, that's really where you look at, and he can only go up from there. This is somebody who he's now officially, if he wasn't before, he is now, a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
No
oh,
doubt in my mind. The moment he retires, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. 44 goals he had.
Yeah, so I was close.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
very close. Yeah. Obviously, re-signing Chychrun, and I think they'll, even with the prospects that they have in the system, I think they'll be still a good team to come for quite a while.
For sure.
I'm with Brandon at number one, Carolina Hurricanes for me as well. Even though there was that whole fiasco with the Rantanen trade last year, they came out pretty good with the deal that they got back. Not the same that they gave out, but getting two firsts, Stankoven, who proved himself during the playoffs to be actually
a really promising player.
Promising good player. And then basically were able to kind of make up for some of what they lost in that Rantanen deal by signing Nikolaj Ehlers. I think even Keandre Miller was a huge, huge trade and sign for them. I think they're going to be a tough team to beat.
They'll be just fine. Yep, absolutely. You know what? I thought our predictions were going to be really far apart. They're not that far apart. We're very similar. My number three is actually Washington. I have them making third. I do agree with you on the regression aspect of things. I think there's no doubt in my mind that they're not as good as they were, obviously, last year, maybe even a couple seasons before. They don't have as much to fight for this year in that they were, you know, the team itself was fighting a lot for Ovechkin to get to that goal, right? And but the one thing I do know about Washington is that they are a tight-knit group, and they're a culture team. Like, they've done everything they could to fight for Ovechkin to get that goal, and that's exactly what happened.
So
they didn't really lose much this offseason. So in terms of like the actual culture of the team, it's going to continue this year, in my opinion. I definitely see Washington being, you know, in that upper echelon of the division per se, and that might have to do with the fact that it is a weaker division too. So it's really, like you say, it's hard to predict, but we see the best teams in the division based on that. Number two, I have New Jersey, and like, it's really hard to bet against people like you say, you know, the Hughes brothers and Jesper Bratt and Nico Hischier. These are the players that are carrying this team, and they have something to prove. You know, if I know what Quinn Hughes is capable of in terms of pulling the team together in Vancouver and actually making the playoffs last year, I know that his brothers are going to do the exact same thing in New Jersey, and that'll be this year, in my opinion. So they didn't fare so well last playoffs, and I think that's something that's going to be kind of a chip on their shoulder. And I think you know, watch out for New Jersey this year based on that. And then number one, Carolina, obviously, just like they are the best team in the division, especially with the moves they made this offseason. They've only gotten better. So they were the best team in the division. Now they're even better. So they're going to be hard to beat for sure. Okay, Atlanta is our last division.
Atlantic.
What did I call it? Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Atlantic division. No,
Atlanta's the newest expansion team coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
No Thrashers.
Hey, actually, speaking of expansion, I want to talk a little bit about that when we're done, because NBA. Just some interesting stuff I heard today on the radio. Let's talk about the Atlantic Division. Now, you guys could do the exact same thing I did with the Pacific in terms of putting your fan hat on, or you can take it off. It's totally up to you. Who is your top three, Brandon?
I'll give you my picks, and you can let me know if you think I'm an idiot or not.
First of all, I don't think either of you guys are idiots. This is very much an opinion-based thing, right?
Oh, totally.
Like, we all can have our reasons behind it also, for sure.
The Atlantic Division is, in my opinion, the toughest division in hockey. If it's not, it's very, very close with the Central.
I can't see how it's not.
Yeah. So, having said that, this is another situation where 3, 4, 5, 6 could all be playoff teams, I think. So, this hurts a lot. But I think number three is going to be the Canadien de Montréal.
That's
who I think.
Canadien.
Blockbuster trade of the summer, picking up Dobson. I think Caulfield is going to score 50 this year. He had 38 or 39 last year. Mm-hmm. He's going to continue to get better as long as he can stay away from the big boys on D in the Atlantic Division throughout, because it's a pretty big division if you think about overall size and the teams involved. That's really all I got. I just have a feeling that they've been getting better every single season for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, their playoff exit was rather quick.
Yeah.
This last season, but they made the playoffs. They're there. They're playing hard, and I just think
and they're another team that just made the playoffs
just
last year too, right?
Squeaked in.
Yep. I gotta say this because it was that close for me. Both are painful, but it's Montreal or Ottawa that are just gonna be like this, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I actually think Tampa Bay has gone farther backwards. So
I'm with you.
I have the Leafs at number two. Obviously, you're getting rid of Mitch Marner. Losing Mitch Marner is a big deal. That's a 100-point player.
That's less scoring on your team.
Less scoring, yeah, for sure. I just feel that the Leafs have one of, if not the top goaltending duo in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I'd agree.
When they're both healthy.
Yep.
Their defense.
Which you could say, I mean, honestly, you could say that about any good goaltending duo. As long as they're healthy, they're a good goaltending duo.
Yep.
If one goaltender has to be relied on more than the other, then that tends to hurt the team, right? So I can see that for sure.
I have a lot of confidence in their defense, and I have a lot of confidence in Matthews coming back healthy. I'll just say it. This is maybe my Leafs hat, but he's the best goal scorer on the planet when he's healthy.
Yeah.
And you can argue with me all day about that, but that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I think that they got harder to play against.
Yeah.
Throughout their lineup.
Yeah, in terms of grittiness.
Forward and whatnot.
You picked up players that are what I would consider Berube-style players. We always talked about with Vancouver about having Tocchet players. You needed Berube players because they're the same type of goalie. It's the same kind of coach. And I think you're going to get that this year. And you'll be surprised to see the team playing in a different style because of it. Yeah.
Number one, the Detroit Red Wings.
And the podcast is over.
The San Jose Sharks. And
cut it there.
Somehow the San Jose Sharks have made the Atlantic Division.
Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. They've somehow kept their entire team, essentially, from their playoff run a year ago. And, I mean, 2-time Stanley Cup champions consecutively, 3 times in the finals.
Yeah, it's hard not to bet.
I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah. Pauly, what you got, buddy?
Well, it's hard to vote against the John Cooper team, but I am going to vote against them this time. And same thing, Montreal Canadiens. Their top two D pairings are going to be insane to play against. And Hudson had the year that he had last year. Dobson being the type of defenseman, he's got a bit of grittiness to him too. Like, he is a puck mover, but he's got some grittiness. I believe Cole Caulfield's also going to have a big jump this year. Suzuki's their captain. Hopefully he starts to bear a lot of responsibility and weight for the team. So I definitely see them at number three as well. I got to go with the hometown team for you and I, the Maple Leafs.
The hometown team. Now, Paul's saying this because he was born and raised in Toronto. Well, for
born, a part in, born in Mississauga.
Born in Mississauga.
He's an Ontario boy.
M-I-S-S-I-S-A-U-G-A.
Very nice.
Nice. That was really quick, actually.
All right. So you're going with Toronto as number two?
Number two. Again, losing Marner, 100-point player's heart. But I definitely get the Berube players. Like the Joshua trade, actually, I really like.
Yeah, me too, actually. I'm stoked for it.
They get ice probably 6 forward lines right now with what they have on the team. But obviously, they're going to have to make some subtractions. And they're looking to make a top 6 forward trade. So, depending on whatever they have to put in a deal. Hopefully it's not a Danforth or a Cowan, but if they can find a top 6 forward that's fringe, I'd be more than comfortable with that and just subtract some of the players that maybe shouldn't probably be on the team anymore.
And money means everything, too.
Yeah.
You want to get a guy who's obviously not going to cost you $4 million. You want somebody who's like 1.5.
Expecting David Kampf and Yarncroke, or at least one of them, to be traded before the season starts. And then number one, I hate them. I expect them to be the President's Trophy winning team. I expect them to actually come close to what Boston did a few years ago, and having the best record ever in a regular season. Florida retaining everyone.
Everyone. I mean, there's the odd player they didn't retain in depth players.
Yeah, but Nate Schmidt.
Woo. Yeah.
Replacing with Jeff Petrie, he used to be a top 6.
Exactly.
Right?
So, they only got better.
Florida only got they and to have him retained on, I wouldn't say cheap deals, but economical deals for the salary cap. They're possibly 3 in a row. We'll see.
One thing about that, real quick, is that they're going to struggle to add, though.
Yeah.
In the future, yeah.
So, I mean, trade deadline, if they're close, they're not going to be able to do much.
Injuries will hurt them, too. When you've got players who are injured, you're relying so heavily on their depth players to be able to maintain, top of the echelon, so to speak. Right?
Yeah, but, I mean, what they'll probably do is, a month and a half before the trade deadline, they'll have Brady run over Matthew. at like Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah.
And then he'll go on LTIR and, you know, the first now, magically he's back.
We'll see what happens. I mean, with the new CBA,
this is the last year.
I understand that. Yeah. But, you know, hope maybe we won't see this so often in the next couple of years.
Maybe it'll be the modern New York Islanders.
Yes.
You know, having one four in a row. So.
Four in a row. Ugh. That's scary to think about. You know, one thing I can say, boys, is that our lists, because we're all so close together in terms of what we agree on, I hope the people at home realize that because we're so close together in terms of what we've predicted, we're somebody you can trust when it comes to having an opinion on the sport, right? I'm with you guys. I'm the only difference in my list versus yours is I don't have Montreal. I have Ottawa as number three.
It's a roll of the dice.
It is. Like you say, Montreal is definitely better this year. I have sort of predictions as to what's going to happen with them, in that I think injuries are going to hurt them a lot this year, and I think somebody may even get fired. We'll see. That's just my prediction. But I have Ottawa as number three. I just feel like, you know, they feel like they've got something to prove this year, and they're going to try and do what they can to prove it. And maybe just this year, it feels like this is the year where teams, you know, are going to kind of come together and make something happen in all the divisions, right? But that's where I see Ottawa this year. Number two, I have Toronto as well. You know, they're going to be up there in terms of like number one in the division when it comes to the scoring, like you say, and the defensive depth is there too. It's going to really be a matter of, can you score as many as you did in the past, and can your goaltending keep up? But again, it's going to be hard to keep up with Florida with what they're doing as well. So that's the way I see it. And you know, it's kind of almost like a given when you look at those two top two teams, right? So that's a pretty fun list, I think. And, you know, it's nice to see that we're all kind of on the same page mentally when it comes to thinking about hockey. But, you know, when you get a kind of a twist there when it comes to the Metro Division, you know, like I say, a weaker division, you look at it and you're just kind of like, who? It could be anybody. It could be anybody in that top three. But, yeah, I think the other three divisions, kind of obvious in terms of who's going to be number one in each division, at least, considering we're all the same, really one and two in most of them there. So, yeah, pretty fun list.
We have to make an effort to come back and check our predictions.
Yes.
At the end of the season.
We'll have to remember. I'm going to save this note and come back to it later on and see where we're at.
Yep, for sure.
There's always been this talk about expansion in the NBA, right? Like they're saying that, you know, they're planning on two expansion teams in the near future. No, nobody knows specifically when, but one of the expansions is going to be Vegas, from what it sounds like. And another one is possibly Seattle. At least that's what everyone's talking about, the two expansion teams. The players recently have been asked around the league, and most of them, believe it or not, want to play in Vancouver. So Vancouver is going to have two teams, I guess, either run a camp or play a game or two in Vancouver this year during the preseason or what have you. And one of the teams is Toronto. The other team, I've already forgotten. I think it's something like Houston. It might be Houston, actually, because I believe it was Kevin Durant was interviewed, and he said that he wanted to go to Vancouver, and they all think the city's beautiful. They all think it's wonderful, and they said, you know, basketball in Canada is really taking off, obviously, with Toronto. It's kind of exciting to hear that the players themselves want to go and play in Vancouver.
It just makes too much sense.
I don't get it. You know, it's crazy when you think about what the cost is to put a team there. Like, you know, to buy a team, it's like billions of dollars. What did we decide? It was like $6 billion or something.
Four
like that.
Four or $6 billion. Something
I think
like that.
It was eight. I think it was double what the fee was for the NHL.
Yeah,
which is four.
Yeah. So, you know, you look at that and it's like, I can't see anybody doing that unless you get a conglomerate together to like make something happen. But that would be incredible to get a team in Vancouver. And the fact that players, I remember when the Grizzlies were in Vancouver, nobody wanted to play in Vancouver. And here we are looking at a team that could possibly come one day and people actually want to play there. That's pretty incredible.
Being in a partnership with the NBA, and as we talked about previously with the TV deals and the broadcasting and the revenue from that, owning an NBA team in Vancouver right now
would be a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
Yeah, no-brainer.
Pull together some partners. Hey, Michael Bublé, what are you doing? Like, exactly. Come on, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
Put some money in there, you know?
It only makes sense, right? And so it's just exciting to hear that. Like, yeah. They literally played interviews with players who were like, they surveyed a bunch of them. They're all like, yeah, Vancouver, Vancouver, Vancouver. So that's really exciting to know that the players actually want to come to Vancouver.
Yep.
Hopefully somebody actually forks out the money and makes something happen. That'd be really awesome.
We'll be Jim Balsillie, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, the thing about it is like it's you know, the fans in Vancouver have wanted a team back since they left. You know, and it's only grown since then. So I think that would be really cool to see again. For sure. Well, Brando, kind of flipping the tables here. We're talking about the excitement of possibly having a team in Vancouver again. Let's talk about what's bugging Brando.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go a little dark. To begin with, and I'm going to end a little bit lighter-ish. It's going to get a little political, but it's all related to sports.
Fair enough.
I will do my best. Stay with me. Donald J. Trump.
Okay.
Okay. The first thing that's bugging me is he's talking about pulling funding for professional sports teams if they don't change their name back to whatever it is that he wants them to be.
Oh, my God.
I.e., he's basically said that he will pull funding for the Washington Commanders, the football team, if they don't change their name back to the Washington Redskins. And he said the same thing about the Cleveland Guardians.
Now, he can't do that, right?
So, first of all, the reason it bugs me is that I wasn't really a fan of when they changed the names because of changing the names just because anyway. But it happened. It is what it is. You move on. Yeah. What's the big deal? Same thing in Edmonton with the Eskimos. You can't have the Eskimos. It has to be the Elks, right?
The Elks, yeah.
Like, I don't really get it to a point. I do, but I don't. It's... Anyway, whatever. The point being is that... Get behind it. Like, everybody has. What's the big deal,
I think the other part of it, too, like you say, is, like, who cares?
Who cares?
Well, really?
It's probably... The guy is most definitely a gaslighting narcissist.
Oh, 100%.
He wants everything his way or you're going to pay for it. So
it's just a control thing more than anything, right? And then I think the other part of it is he just wants to be in the spotlight constantly.
Like, maybe I'm wrong about the commanders with funding, but my first thought was that most sports teams are privately owned.
Yep.
Right? So if there's funding for the Commanders, that maybe there is, I don't really know. And maybe he has a little bit of control over that if it's federal funding.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he does. But the Cleveland Guardians, I don't think he'll have say over. So what makes him think that he can do that anyway? That's really what it comes... Like, I still am waiting for Ashton Kolchek to come out from underneath the Resolute desk and be like, gotcha!
Yeah.
For 8 years worth of this crap.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. Unfortunately, I'm not finished with Donald J. Trump.
Okay.
But that's just the first part.
All right.
The second part, the FIFA World Cup. This guy apparently has anointed himself chairman for the FIFA World Cup 2026, which will be held in the U.S.
Yeah. And in Canada, believe it or not.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, North America.
Yeah.
Okay, pal. Then this year, he had an entire stadium booing him when he was at the World Cup. Maybe he forgot his hearing aids or I don't know what's going on.
Are you saying boo or boo earns?
Yeah, it just, I don't know. it's pretty obvious that the entire world's laughing at you, but anyway. He actually took one of the medals that were meant for the team and stuffed it in his pocket.
Yes, I saw that, yeah.
And took it with him. Oh, like apparently he's earned a medal. The FIFA World Cup trophy, I can't remember what the trophy's called.
Called the World Cup.
Yes.
Is it? I thought it actually had a different name.
The Stanley Cup is, what is it again?
Anyway, whatever, Paul. Anyway, I wanted to get the facts right, but this guy actually has the FIFA World Cup trophy in the White House. The trophy that the team raised on stage was a replica.
Yeah.
He took the trophy.
Yeah.
That's his, apparently. It's his now. So
he's like a giant child.
That's bugging me.
Yeah.
He was on stage with the team during their attempted celebration. Even the head of the FIFA or whoever was running the tournament was like, come on.
Yeah.
like, get out of the way. And Trump's like, no, I'm good. What do you mean you're good? Like, to the point where in social media photos, they photoshopped him out.
Yeah.
Of that championship photo that they took with the team raising
He's probably going to cut funding for them now.
Yeah. The Chelsea captain was basically like, I'm paraphrasing, but he had said in an interview a few days later, he was like, I mean, we knew he'd be there.
Yeah.
But we have no idea why he was on stage. Like, it was actually a bit of a shot to us as players and as managers and staff that have worked this entire season and tournament long to earn this victory. And then this guy's trying to steal the spotlight.
Yeah.
He's like, it's actually heartbreaking for them, right? As players.
Yeah.
So I just don't know where this is going to end. And I mean, my segment's going to end now because I'm going to get real heated otherwise.
Yeah.
But that's that. Lastly, a bit of a cop-out thing, but I always like to have three. What's bugging me is literally there's no hockey.
Yeah.
It's actually, I was okay for the first month or so. We're about a month after now, aren't we?
About a month. Yeah, about a month. Yeah.
Just about.
It was June.
Yeah. You know, you had the free agency to tide you over a little bit, you know, did, some trades leading up to some signings. But now I'm like, okay, when's training camp? And it's like, for me, hockey is year-round. I don't care if it's signings, trades, expansion, PED announcements. Like, it really doesn't matter to me. I need hockey in my life
24/7. I saw a post today on, I think, Facebook. The local junior B team in Nanaimo, the Nanaimo Buccaneers, their ice is back in today. I saw the post. Cool. I was like, why would their ice be in now? Like, they don't play till it can't be till like September, but I guess it's like August.
I'm pretty sure, like, when I used to, I mean, you would know more than me, but I'm pretty sure before, like, you'd have exhibition games in late August.
Yeah.
And then the season would start like the first or second week of September.
I believe that's changed in the BCHL now.
Okay. Yeah.
However, the VIJHL, which the Buccaneers are in, I actually don't know. I emceed for them one season. I don't recall ever doing a preseason game with them.
Okay.
So, I mean, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're doing preseason in August for sure.
See, this is the time of the year where franchise mode becomes very, very important.
Yes.
On PlayStation.
That's right.
That's where I get my hockey fix.
So that's what's bugging Brando, hey?
That's what's bugging me.
Hey, you know what? We've got plenty of time between now and, say, our next season to, you know, fill that cup up with some more things that are bugging Brando, I'm sure.
I'm sure there's going to be lots.
So, gentlemen, let's talk a little bit about entertainment. We've got movies to discuss, and we discussed previously. We're going to talk about cult classics. So what do you consider to be cult classics?
Well, definition Wikipedia, we're dedicated and passionate about our sports and hockey, and basically that's what a cult classic is that it's a film that has a dedicated and passionate fan base over time, even if it had success or not.
Fair enough. So whether it had success or not.
My definition is weird movie liked by weird people. Yeah.
I would like to know passionate what your examples are.
Passionate Brando.
We were talking about a little bit off camera what we thought were cult classics, and Brandon was like, ew, no. So a couple of those examples. So, okay, Brandon, give me an example of a cult classic that...
Well, I mean, I'll just go with one, you know, and it's kind of an aftershock of my rant of what's bugging Brando, but... You guys are going to hate me for it, but I cannot stand The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
I had to watch it.
Yeah.
As I was playing a gig to celebrate one of our colleagues' birthdays years and years ago. And we actually basically played songs from the soundtrack. There's nothing wrong with the music, but I had to watch the movie to kind of understand context.
Yeah.
And it was the most painful 2 hours of
my life.
That's
so funny. I love that movie.
Okay, one, how can you not like the Eagles?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm done with you, pal. Sorry.
Was that the moment that you just, like, turned it off? You're like, he said no to the Eagles. Screw that.
No, it was the White Russians. Those
yeah. I love the movie. I think I'm a huge Coen Brothers fan. Like, yeah, a lot of their movies are called classics. And for me, it's just the writing style that they have. It's, like, the dialogue in particular for me always kind of catches my attention, and I think that's you know, the movie True Grit, which obviously is a remake from the like 1950s or something like that. John Wayne did the original. But it's just the dialogue in that movie was what got my attention. The fact that they never shortened words, like, for example, right? Like, they never used the word can't. It's always cannot. You are not this or sure. whatever, you know? And I just caught that always caught my attention, and I really liked I liked that they kind of went with that. It's almost like saying it, that shortened words didn't exist in those days. You know what I mean? And I just found that really intriguing and just sort of a decision that they made, you know?
Articulation.
Yeah. But again, it's dialogue. It's the way they wrote the dialogue.
Good dialogue makes a great film. A unique style to the film, too. When you look at movies like Clockwork Orange, Pulp Fiction, Fight Club, Kill Bill... Reservoir Dogs.
You're looking at the same list I am. He's going down.
Scarface, Blade Runner. These are all films that are not your typical Hollywood trope films, typical dramas or action films. They have a unique style to how they're filmed, to how the directing is done, to how the dialogue is,
the way
the story plays out. Unexpected endings, all those things. Makes it a cult film for the fact that maybe you didn't get it the first time too when you saw it. You watch it the second time and you've kind of clued in what's happened, and it's that much more of like, oh wow, this is actually really great. Mm-hmm. Donnie Darko, to be honest, the first time I saw it, I liked it, but I was a bit confused. I've seen it quite a few times now, but I watched it a few times afterwards. I'm like, this is one of the best films I think that's ever been made.
One of my favorite movies as a kid. I won't say of all time, but as a kid, one of my favorite movies ended up being a cult hit. Nowadays, it's like way outdated because it's just like it doesn't make a lot of sense. But it was a huge cult film back in the day, and that was the movie Hackers.
Yeah, I remember Hackers.
With Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah.
Ryan Phillippe, I think, was in that?
No. Matthew. Johnny Lee Miller is the guy you're thinking of. Okay. But
Matthew Lillard
was in it.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't make sense now in 2025, but it was like, for me, it was the soundtrack that really hooked me in that movie. The Prodigy, they had a song called The Voodoo People. And oh, yeah. That movie, I was like obsessed with that song from the movie. And it's just like, it wasn't really an action movie, but the soundtrack made it feel that way.
Totally.
Right? It helped with the pacing of the movie, and I just thought it was really intriguing.
Mark Anthony in that film, too.
Mark Anthony?
He's in the film. Rewatch it.
I got to think about that. You know, one of the reasons why I watched it in the first place, and this is kind of going on a tangent. We've only got a few minutes here, but there's an actor in the movie. Forgive me. I can't remember his name. Jesse something. And he was in a movie that was filmed in Ucluelet when I lived there as a kid, called Yellow Dog. And he was the star of this movie. And I watched Hackers because he was in it, trying to get to know more of like who he is as an actor. And it was like a completely different character. but it was such a good movie. I enjoyed that. So just sort of one thing I want to point out as we're running out of time here, the list that you just named off, probably about six of those movies were Tarantino movies.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very kind of easily. The thing you kind of point out is he's a very cult classic director. People follow him just based on what movie he's going to do because they like the stuff that
when
he puts out.
When it comes to cult classics, you can have movies that are absolutely, like, they're dreadfully awful to watch, but they become cult classics because they're entertaining because they're so bad. Again, you look at The Room with Tommy Wiseau.
That's a cult
classic. There was a remake of The Roadhouse, but there was the original Roadhouse, which was a cult classic. Same thing.
Roadhouse.
Absolutely terrible, but it had Patrick Swayze in it, but it was terrible.
Yep.
I thought it should be bigger.
Yeah.
And then like even like a movie like, you know, when we were all young, I'm sure we all saw Showgirls at one time.
Oh!
Same thing.
I don't know about you. I was doing my homework. No, we talked about before we started recording, Brandon was asking about Ghostbusters, right? And obviously Ghostbusters is a huge, and Ghostbusters 1 and 2 were both cult films. And that's the reason why they've got these new movies that they're doing that are Ghostbusters. Jurassic Park, same thing, right? Like, unfortunately, we are right out of time, gentlemen. But I'm sure we've got a lot more we can discuss. We'll maybe have to bring this back next season and discuss more about...
It was a modified segment.
We talk a lot about hockey, and it tends to take up a lot of the space. But, gentlemen, it's been a fun one. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I mean, next, I can't wait till we discuss this again with the rankings that we gave the teams for the divisions here in hockey, and it'll be interesting to just kind of see what happens, you know, in the long run for this NHL season. So I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much to Rogers TV for supporting the show, and thank you for supporting the show one more time for the Puck and Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
We'll see you guys in the next one.